On Tech News Today, Google Plus chief Vic Gundotra leaves the company and leaves Google Plus with an uncertain future. FTC officials side with Tesla over direct car sales to consumers. And Pinterest rolls out a surprisingly good new search feature. All that and more coming up next.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, April 25th, 2014. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free two-week trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TNT. And by RingCentral, the cloud-based phone system we use here at Twit. And it just got better with the launch of Meetings, the full-service video conference feature. Zero startup costs, and RingCentral starts at under $25 a month per user. Try it now with a 30-day risk-free trial, and buy one desk phone, get a second phone free, up to 20 phones. Call 800-543-9980 or visit ringcentral.com and use our promo code TWIT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Mike Elgin.
And I'm Jason Howell.
Tech News Today explores the big stories of the day with some of the world's best journalists. Our guest co-anchor today is Kevin Toefel. Kevin is a senior writer for GigaOm, where he specializes in mobile technology. That's GigaOm with a lowercase o, isn't it?
It is. We went from uppercase to lowercase, and, you know, the business card people were very happy.
Do you say it differently now? Is it GigaOm?
We say it with a French accent now.
Okay, great. That's a great policy. GigaOm. I like that.
GigaOm.
Yeah, there you go. It helps if you have a cappuccino and a cigarette. Let's jump right into the news before we get into any trouble with the French people. As we reported on yesterday's show, Google's vice president for social, Vic Gundotra, is leaving the company. The departure of Gundotra raises serious questions about the future of Google+, that company's social network. With us to sort all this out is Rolf Winkler, reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Welcome, Rolf.
How you doing, Mike?
Great. And we also have Will Oramus, a senior tech writer for Slate.com. Welcome, Will.
Thanks.
Now, we'll start with you, Will, since you were just on camera most recently. What's next for Google+? I mean, this is clearly not just the departure of an executive with everything else remaining the same. Just generally speaking, before we get into the details, what do you think Google+ and Google's next move is here?
Well, this is speculation, but I don't see Google+ tomorrow being much different than Google Plus was yesterday, which is to say that as a social network, it's still pretty much a ghost town. There are exceptions. You know, people use it for certain hobbies. People who don't like Facebook use it for certain things. Google employees use it. But I think Google Plus is going to continue because it has become really important to Google as a way to get people to sync their accounts across Google services, to have a real name identity across Google services, to be searchable across YouTube, and you know, it's integrated with Google Hangouts. So it has really been built into Google as a platform, as an identity service, and I don't think we're going to see that go away.
Okay, and I would take issue with the ghost town characterization. I'm one of those rabid users who's like super into it. And it just seems it's a torrent of content and communication, and I just can't keep up with it. It grew faster than Twitter or Facebook ever did at their fastest growing points. And so I tend to think that it's a very active place for a relatively small number of people, but a larger number of people than on Twitter, for example, and that a lot of that activity is private sharing. And we'll get into the private sharing issue in a second. But that is a controversial point. Now, Rolf Winkler, you follow Google and Google Plus very carefully. What's your view generally about what happened here, why Gundotra is leaving, and what is kind of, I guess, went wrong, if you will, with Google Plus at Google?
Well, one thing to note, Mike, is you mentioned activity, that it grew very quickly, and you actually have to wonder, how was that activity measured? That's something that I reported in terms of Google Plus's inability to get traction. That unit, Google Plus itself, like to say, for instance, they announced in October 540 million monthly active users, except there were a lot of people that were very skeptical. They noted, wait a minute, am I an active user if I just click the little red notification bell in my Gmail account? If I'm you know, now commenting on a YouTube video, which is part of now integrated with Google Plus? Not really. And in fact, a source I spoke to said that 2 years ago, the active user count, this was when the service was getting some traction. You mentioned it was growing quickly, theoretically, but the number of people actually in reading posts, not sharing posts, but reading posts on Google Plus only numbered about 7 million at that point, which is obviously a tiny number for a company with billions of users. And I think that was a good sign that, in fact, while it has helped Google, well, makes a good point, it has helped Google kind of connect its other services together. There are a lot of skeptics about how useful Google Plus itself as a service will be.
Yeah, 2 years ago, Google Plus was 6 months old or something like that, or 10 months old or whatever it was. And it's been growing pretty steadily, and especially internationally. I'm lucky enough to be on the suggested users list. And my my circle count grows by about 2,500 people a day. So somebody's signing up for it at some point. But you make a very good point that the metrics on this is filled with BS and confusion, because Google has tried to present it as being more active than in fact it is. And they count all kinds of things as users, which creates problems on multiple fronts, one of which you didn't really mention, which is that when you talk about percentages, the active users as a percentage of the number of so-called users, it's really small. And you know, if you average in the big numbers that Google brags about with the active users in terms of how much time they spend per month, it's minuscule, especially compared to Facebook, where people spend hours on the site. And so that has been a problem for Google for sure. But I think that one of the interesting things about Google Plus is that I think everybody would agree that its most successful feature is probably video hangouts, the video conferencing feature, which is not measured in terms of usage, even though I know a lot of people who spend huge amounts of time on hangouts. And there are all kinds of other things. Like, for example, Google Plus is supposed to be a social layer. So let's talk about the larger scope of Google Plus within the context of the social networking industry. Now, Facebook seemed to have a case of Google envy. Google has succeeded in mobile advertising revenue because, in part, it's got lots and lots of apps. If you are an iPhone user, chances are you use 3, 4, 5, 6 Google apps. And many of those are either harvesting personal information or they're displaying advertising. And Google is making a lot of money, and Facebook wants some of that money. And so Facebook has this sort of multiple app strategy where they're acquiring the Instagrams and the WhatsApps, and they're spinning out their own creations like Paper and Facebook Camera and Facebook Messenger and so on. And their idea is to harvest user data from lots of places and to display advertising in lots of places. And next week, of course, Wednesday, they're probably going to announce an ad network as well, another place to display advertising. So within the context of that, it seems to me, and this is just my own personal opinion, that the big change for Google isn't going to be that Google Plus is going to go away or stop growing or whatever. What's going to change is that they're going to stop these forced integrations that have been so unpopular with YouTube users and so on. Would you agree with that, Rolf Winkler? Is that a likely direction for Google Plus, for them to stop being so aggressive with integrations?
I think that is one thing that they're going to do. I think I'm going to disagree with you. I think Google Plus itself as a service may indeed go away. Now, you're right. Hangouts and another thing you didn't mention, photos. That's another very popular feature. Those things are not going anywhere. Another thing, again, we mentioned the identity layer. I think that's something that Google can retain, even if Google Plus as a brand may not continue. I think those are all questions that are raised by some of the other movements we've seen recently in the Google Plus unit. For instance, the employees got moved. They had been very centrally located, and they've been moved farther away on campus. And an executive from Google had told me that, you know, this is something that I used to fight over, is proximity to Larry Page. We wanted to be close. It's good for productivity reasons and for a slew of other reasons. Besides that, they actually recently went through a reorganization. A bunch of people left or were reassigned. These are all kind of signs that, in fact, this is not a strategic priority going forward.
Now, Will Ormus, if I can jump in here, you Do you agree with Rolf here that there's a good chance that Google Plus could in fact go away? And if they did go away, how would Google handle the part of the personal information harvesting that involves knowing what people's relationships are? Facebook does a pretty good job with that sort of thing. Would they have something that could replace that metric?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think it's worth noting that a lot of people that I know inside Google would be very happy if Google Plus went away. I mean, I think there's a substantial portion of Google employees who never thought it was a great idea from the start and really didn't like it when all the forced integration started. Certainly people who use YouTube and were angry at being pushed to use Google Plus and their real name in order to comment on YouTube videos were very unhappy about it. So there would definitely be some people cheering if Google Plus did go away. That said, I this is just my intuition. I think it's unlikely. Maybe it will be rebranded. Maybe the Google Plus name will go away because it doesn't have a lot of cachet at this point. I would be really surprised if they got rid of the social networking element entirely, because there really are some very active communities on there. It's not going to be a Facebook rival, despite the metrics that look like it's bigger than Twitter. It's nowhere near Twitter in terms of engagement, as far as I can tell. And so I think it's right to say that Google Plus is no longer that Google no longer sees Google Plus as a serious rival to those social networking alternatives. That said, I mean, look how, you know, Google Reader was pretty much of a niche product, and yet people were so furious when Google got rid of it. I think Google would be really careful before getting rid of it entirely. I think what we're going to see is, as Rolf said, and based on Rolf's reporting, it really sounds like they're de-emphasizing it as a product, as a social product. I think absolutely they will need to keep something like it, no matter what, for their identity services and for integration across platforms.
I would tend to agree with much of the points that were just made, because Google Plus is so integrated right now with certain Android bits, for example, the photos, as Rolf mentioned. Maybe it goes away as a social platform, as Will was saying. But it's interesting to me how we were just talking earlier about the engagement and the numbers that maybe are BS. And it seems like that's a fundamental problem Google has across multiple products. We look at all the controversy over Android activations. What's an activation? Is it when I reset my phone? Is it when I set up a phone? Is it when I buy a phone? And that's a bigger problem that's related to this that Google has to solve. They've got to get some better metrics out there for whatever product it is they're going to be pushing.
Now, Rolf Winkler, let's say, I don't know if you saw the piece on Search Engine Land talking about, you know, sort of a speculative thing about what happens if Google Plus were to go away. Now, this is it seems to me that the multi-app strategy that Facebook is taking, which is to a certain extent a copy of the Google strategy or the Google success in mobile advertising, Google would be like, you know, it'd be problematic for them to get rid of Google Plus as a social platform. I could see them spinning out the photos and definitely Hangouts, and I do see them putting a huge emphasis on Hangouts. What are your prospects, Rolf Winkler? How would you game the prospects for Hangouts as successful competitors to some of the messaging apps out there? I mean, it's really Google Plus Hangouts is, or Google Hangouts is really a kind of a lousy app at present. But Google has made a lot of comments that they want to integrate Google voice functionality, use it for phone calls, give people phone numbers, and so on. And so what do you think the prospects are for Google Hangouts?
I think that's a product that they probably will continue to invest in. And you mentioned the multi-app strategy. If anything, Google is the one that probably has the best multi-app strategy when you think about the sheer number of apps, mobile apps that these guys have that are popular. Facebook has really two that I can think about. I mean, obviously the Facebook app itself, in terms of engagement, blows everybody out of the water. Facebook Messenger is also very popular. Instagram is very popular. WhatsApp is now theirs. That's very popular. But, you know, you look at the roster that Google has, and their popularity, not just on Android phones, on iPhones, is very high. Think about Maps. Think about YouTube. Think about, what else, the Play Store. Hangouts, I think, could be a crucial part of that if the company invests in the product.
So, Will Ormus, one last question before we move on here. But, you know, Google has this interesting history, interesting as a euphemism, with social. Orkut, for example, still exists, astonishingly. A lot of people don't know that. They had Google Buzz, Google Wave, and now Google Plus is appears to be stumbling. What is it about Google and Google's culture that prohibits them from knocking a social network just right out of the park?
You know, and it's a really good question. It's a question that I think Google itself is struggling with. I mean, I think if you talk to people at Facebook, they'll tell you, look, we live and breathe social. Everything we do, we think about how to make it social, how to get people to engage with it, how you know, people will share it with their friends. Google just doesn't it doesn't inhale and exhale the social mentality in that same way. You know, it's not Google's first priority in everything that it does. And I think, you know, when you're going up against a company like Facebook, when you're going up against other social networks that are very hungry, have a lot of very talented people, and are very, very focused on social, it's really tough for you to do social as sort of a moonlighting thing and to keep up in that regard.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, Rolf Winkler, I want to thank you for coming on Tech News Today this morning to talk about Google+.
Thank you, Mike.
You can find Rolf at WSJ.com, of course, and on Twitter at Rolf Winkler. Rolf is spelled with an E at the end. And thank you, Will Oramus, for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Will is at Slate.com and also on Twitter at Will Oramus. Appreciate it. Well, we're going to talk about the person of Vic Gundotra and the circumstances around his departure in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Squarespace has 25 beautiful design templates. Now, these are templates that you can just go in and select. And once you've selected that template, you can build a website almost immediately. And then you can tweak it and customize it to your heart's content with some very, very easy-to-use tools. If you have a small business, there are a couple of tools that Squarespace will give you that will make your business really shine. One of them is the Logo Creator tool. Just go in there and create your own logo, and you can see a video of this at blog.squarespace.com, but it's a simple, easy-to-use tool for non-designers to design a business logo or any kind of logo. And Squarespace also supports e-commerce for all subscription plan levels. So you can accept money for whatever it is you're selling, or if you're not selling anything, you just need to raise money for a cash wedding registry or school fund drive, whatever. You can do that as well on Squarespace, and very, very easy to use. It's very inexpensive, too, starting at just $8 a month. And that $8 includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. Squarespace is famously mobile ready. So this is, it's mobile ready for the from the user's point of view. They look at your website on a mobile device. It looks beautiful. And it's also mobile ready from the from your point of view, because the tools for managing your site are mobile. Squarespace Metric app for iPhone and iPad is one example, and that lets you check site stats on the go with your mobile device. So start a free two-week trial with no credit card required and start building your website. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code TNT, and that'll get you 10% off, and also show your support for Tech News Today. And we thank Squarespace for their support of Tech News Today. And remember that a better web awaits, and it starts with your new Squarespace website. Well, Vic Gundotra led the team that created and built Google+. Selena Larson, who's a writer at ReadWrite, is here to talk about Vic Gundotra, his legacy, and the circumstances surrounding his departure. Welcome, Selena.
Thank you, Mike.
And we had a little trouble getting the audio for your Skype earlier, and you're coming in loud and clear, and I appreciate that. So what do we know about the circumstances of Vic Gundotra's departure?
So we don't know anything for sure, as it is still so new, but he posted on Google Plus a very personal sort of outgoing message. So it could be completely a personal decision. However, our sources tell us that there were some friction surrounding engineers at similar levels in different parts of Google that that sort of pushed him, I don't know, sort of pushed him out the door, I guess. But it's important to note that while he is known for Google Plus, he came on to Google to really popularize Android for developers. And in that aspect, he's done a phenomenal job. I mean, even look at Google I.O., which was an event that he started, has become one of the staples in the tech industry now as an event for developers. So while his Google Plus legacy is, I don't know, a lot of people still don't understand what Google Plus exactly is going to be used for. It's still kind of up in the air as to the success of it as a social network versus a social identity manager. Vic's legacy at Google, I think, is very well. And as Larry Page posted on his Google Plus page, it seems he's going to be missed by leadership there.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a conversation with Bradley Horowitz some months ago, and before any of this was even in the works. And, you know, he told me that, you know, when Vic, and by the way, he's been passed over to lead Google Plus. We'll get into that in a sec. But he was saying that when Vic Gundotra initially took on this task and Google as a company decided, you know, probably 4 years ago that they were going to do this, Vic Gundotra told Larry Page that, you know, in order to do this, we need to get the whole company behind this. We need to integrate everything into our social platform. At the time, if you recall, Facebook was just gobbling up the universe. It was growing like a weed, and a lot of the traffic was flying over to Facebook, and Google was seriously freaked out about Facebook taking over search, taking over as an almost alternative internet. There was so much activity and growth around Facebook. Nowadays, it's a different story, but Larry Page agreed. The company decided at the highest levels that they were going to completely integrate everything that Google had into Google Plus. And there was somebody said very profoundly that Google Plus isn't Google's version of Facebook. Google Plus is Google's version of Google for the future. And so what happened apparently is that Vic Gundotra set out to integrate everything at Google into Google Plus, and this could have been his undoing, really. I mean, it sounds to me from the sketchy reports we're hearing and some of the analysis that's flying around that he burned a lot of bridges by essentially using the authority that he had from the highest levels of Google. And of course, he was pretty high himself, probably number four or five guy in the company, to force these integrations. And he really seemed to have burned a lot of bridges. Is that your sense as well around what happened here?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, not just in Google, but if you look at the Google Plus integration and how consumers have reacted to it, I mean, look at YouTube. When you were forced to use Google Plus to comment on videos, people were outraged. And it was more of sort of forcing them into this social network that they didn't really want to be a part of, because they didn't see it necessarily as a social tool, but more of an identity manager. And as you talked about previously, there's kind of like a lot of splintering in this whole multi-app strategy. But what really ties it all together is Google Plus. But the Google Plus strategy wasn't nailed accurately, and there was a lot of people weren't really on board with it. So in order to have Google Plus be the identity manager and use Google Plus to log into all of these different Google products and applications, it really needed to have a great breakout and really get people on board with it. But as Will said, internally, it was not hugely popular. And as we've seen with a lot of people using other social networks like Facebook or Twitter, they don't really see the use for Google Plus. So it was really a missed opportunity to be able to manage all of Google products with one identity, because as we've seen, it's still sort of a failure.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of interesting that this has been in the works for longer than people are aware, for the most part. Amir Afradi, who's at The Information, said that his sources told him about Vic Gundotra's departure 2 weeks ago, and he confronted Vic Gundotra personally, and Vic Gundotra denied it categorically. And then a couple of days before the announcement that Vic Gundotra was leaving, it popped up on the Secret app. That's an anonymous social communications system, very popular in Silicon Valley, that Vic Gundotra was interviewing for other jobs. My guess is that somebody saw him interviewing at the company where he was interviewing and posted that on Secret. Now, there's another interesting aspect or background politically within Google about all of this, and that is the sort of rise of Sundar Pichai. Sundar Pichai, a couple of years ago, was in charge of Chrome and Chromium and the Chrome OS, and then he became in charge of Chromebooks. And then when Andy Rubin became a full-time robot guy within Google, he took on Android. So then Sundar Pichai was in charge of everything Chrome and everything Android. And after the Motorola sale, or it's still in process, to Lenovo, Sundar Pichai also has its own kind of Google X thing, because the research wing within Motorola which is the company that's working on those modular phones and these, you know, the sort of the smart contact lenses and the smart tattoos, electronic tattoos, and all those wild things. That's all under Sundar Pichai as well. And now we're hearing reports, unsubstantiated reports at this point, that Hangouts and some of the other components of Google Plus will also be put under Sundar Pichai. What's the deal? This guy is just rising and rising and rising and gobbling up. He's like Voyager in Star Trek One, just gobbling up everything in his path. And that's a really interesting dynamic within the company. It sounds to me like Sundar Pichai is now the number four guy in the company. What do you think about that?
Well, I actually think it makes a little bit of sense to move Photos and Hangouts under Android, because where do you store your photos? It's in your camera, which is an app on your Android device. You chat very regularly. You use you use video conferencing, chat apps. It's on your mobile device, so that's integrated directly into your Android phone. So I actually think it's kind of a smart move on Google Plus's part to sort of integrate these different features into Android. And personally, for me, I use Google Plus mostly for its awesome photo capabilities. And I am a very avid user of Hangouts. The app itself is still has a lot of work to do. But personally, for a chat or a messenger application, I think it's very helpful. And I use it probably more than I use WhatsApp. As far as the news breaking on Secrets, that's a very interesting app itself. There have been a lot of tech rumors that have been posted on there. Most of them rumors, but as we've seen with, for instance, the Google Plus news as well as the Nike news, it can be a newsbreaker. Yep. And I was just on Secret this morning, and there have been a lot more secrets about Vic as well as Sundar Pichai on Secret talking about the move under Android. And it seems to me that... that people are, as far as the employees over at Secret, it's very fractured. I mean, the opinions on whether Google Plus itself will become dismantled or whether it's a good idea to even bring some of those features onto Android, it's still really up in the air. And it's very negative is what I'm seeing, just from rumors as well as our sources are telling us similar things.
All right. Well, Selena Larson, I want to thank you for coming on Tech News today and talking to us about Vic Indotra and the future of Google and social. Thanks again.
Thank you.
You can find Selena Larson at readwrite.com and also on Twitter at Selena Larson. Well, three officials with the U.S. Federal Trade Commission yesterday slammed state bans on direct sales of Tesla cars to consumers in a blog post. Mike Ramsey is a reporter for The Wall Street Journal, and he joins us to talk about this. Welcome, Mike.
No, Mike is not on.
He is not on.
I apologize.
Well, then I do not welcome Mike, since he is not here. So this is we're not going to spend too much time on this, Kevin, but this is a really interesting story. And we were actually talking before the show offline about how you cover Tesla, because it's obviously, you know, it's a computer on wheels, and yet it's rarely a good tech story. And this isn't a tech story, but I wanted to talk about this because this is a rare case in which the FTC is doing something that I agree with. What do you think about this, Kevin? Is this a rare move for the FTC?
So, this is interesting because the FTC is, in a good way, stepping in when they need to shut down these states that are trying to block the Tesla direct sales. I actually have ties to two of the states in question, and I'm very interested in this because I have solar panels on my house. I have an electric car right now. We were considering a Tesla. I used to live in New Jersey, but hey, you can't buy one direct there. I mean, that's just kind of crazy. This is just a disruption that the car dealerships are just not prepared for. That car industry, the auto industry, is very set in its ways, slow to make change and make progress. So I totally understand their point of view. I simply don't agree with it. And I'm glad to see the FTC stepping in.
Yeah, and they're not doing it officially. This is the we're talking about a blog post by three officials who clearly state that it's not the FTC position. The FTC hasn't taken a position. Maybe this is their position, but we don't know. And just for the larger context of this, we were talking in the show yesterday about a kind of a toxic long-term trend within U.S. politics and its regulation of industry, in which industries become super wealthy and powerful. They influence government with their money and power, and then they sort try to lock out smaller competitors And we're seeing this a lot with the net neutrality, for example. Mm-hmm. They were talking about net neutrality yesterday, and we've been talking about it all week because the FCC chairman has come out essentially against net neutrality, even though he's saying that it supports it. But he's wrong. It's an anti-net neutrality position. And this is really something that benefits the larger companies and disadvantages the smaller companies. And this is a long-term trend. You can see it in all kinds of industries. But here in this case, you know, Tesla is the disruptive startup. And you would normally expect an organization like the FTC to come out in favor of the dealerships, of blocking direct sales simply because it supports the larger companies. And so this is a refreshing turn of affairs. And it's also an interesting blog post that everybody should read. So anybody who's interested in Tesla and innovation in car sales.
You know, it's funny you just mentioned on that last point that you're surprised the FTC may be siding with with Tesla in this case. You know, this is a situation where it's kind of hard to hide your agenda here. I mean, this is very simple. If somebody wants to sell me a car and it's a private dealership, be it Tesla or whoever, I should be able to buy it. Net neutrality is so vague and people don't understand it that I think it's easier to hide the bits and strategies behind it. And I would agree with you, even though the FTC is saying that they're for net neutrality, that's certainly not the case. Because again, it's a vague concept for many people.
That's a great point. And it has to be said also that I think one of the most laudable things about Tesla as a company, and one of the things that's related to this issue, is that they believe that service on a car should be free. And essentially the way car dealerships make their money is when they sell you a car, chances are they're making almost nothing. They may be losing money on the car sales, but they make their money on the financing and ultimately on the service. And a lot of consumers don't realize this, and that provides an incentive, although I don't think it's a major point in the design of cars, but it provides an incentive for cars to need service. And Tesla, with its model of providing free service for Tesla owners, has an incentive to minimize the need for service, and that's the right incentive. And, you know, we were talking about incentives with the FCC yesterday with net neutrality, and where are the incentives? And here, this is the kind of incentive. So it's great to see, and I wish Tesla luck in enabling them to legally sell in all 50 states direct to consumers and skip the dealerships. Well, Pinterest unveiled a major new feature last night called Guided Search. Now, you're not, Kevin Toefel, you're not a big Pinterest user. You're not a Pinterest user at all. Neither am I. But every once in a while, I dip my toe in the water, and it's a pretty website, and it's very nice. And this sounds like a really excellent certain new search feature.
I would definitely like to take a look at it again. I haven't looked at Pinterest in a while because I spend most of my time in the ghost town that is Google Plus. So Pinterest, I just never got, and maybe it just needs a second look for me. And this new feature with guides that will help you find interesting information about your own interests. You know, if you can bring me to content that I'm interested in, I'm definitely interested in that. So I'll take a look at it.
Yeah. And basically the way it works is you start typing a search, and all this help immediately appears, and they've added a lot of sophistication to the automatically generated suggestions that pop up. And this sounds really great. Very few companies have been able to do this successfully. Google is one company. They have great search on almost all their products. Facebook has done less well, although recently they've added some features that enable you to search things if you're searching for the kinds of things that Facebook wants you to search for, people's photos and stuff like that. It's great for stalkers. But on Pinterest, this from all that I've read, including from Harry McCracken and others, this sounds like a very sophisticated algorithms on the back end. And Pinterest has been very good with this sort of stuff in the past, and now it sounds like they're getting even better. So that's really great to see. Well, in a sec, we're going to talk about a new app. We're going to give you a Tech News Today exclusive that you'll hear about only here. But first, I want to tell you about RingCentral. RingCentral is a cloud-based phone system that we use here at TWIT, and they have a new feature called Meetings. I'll tell you about Meetings in a sec. First, let me tell you about RingCentral. RingCentral has zero startup costs, and it starts at under $25 a month per user. When Leo built the studio here, the last thing he wanted was a giant PBX, a big iron in the basement, gobbling up resources and time and energy and money, and wanted to put it all in the cloud. So RingCentral was an obvious choice, and it has zero startup costs and, as I said, no PBX hardware to install or maintain. But now RingCentral has meetings. So in addition to everything else that RingCentral brings us, meetings enable face-to-face meetings in high definition, and you can share desktop documents with anyone, anytime, on anywhere, on any device. It's really quite great. Meetings makes RingCentral the single best business solution on the market today. RingCentral offers all-inclusive pricing, only under $25 a month per user, and you can start right now with a 30-day risk-free trial. And they have a special offer for listeners of Tech News Today. When you buy one desk phone, you get a second phone free, up to 20 phones. So call this number designated for our listeners and viewers, 800-543-9980. That's 800-543-9980. Or you can go to ringcentral.com and use the promo code TWIT. Well, we told you back in March about an app called FireChat that enables communication without the internet. Instead, the app uses Apple's multi-peer connectivity framework, which is a new feature in iOS 7 that enables mesh networking. Well, this morning we can report to you in a Tech News Today exclusive that a new app called HelloChat uses Apple's mesh networking technology as well, but for private chats rather than public posts. Unlike FireChat, which needs at least one user on the network to connect to the internet to use it in the way that it's intended to be used, HelloChat can work with zero internet connections, with everybody connecting peer-to-peer. The app is free. Kevin Toefel, weren't you the guest co-anchor when we talked about FireChat? I believe you were.
That could well be. I'm still jet lagged from my house hunting trip. That could well be.
Well, so are you as excited as I am about multi-peer connectivity and mesh networking in general? I think this is just the greatest thing ever, especially if you're a high school student who's being blocked from connecting to the internet by your school. You can just go ahead and set up your own little mini internet.
Yeah, the device-to-device or person-to-person communication without, you know, the bigger network at large is very appealing to me and hopefully to many other people because, you know, think about what you can do. You can be out in the middle of nowhere where maybe you don't have a good network signal, but you still need to keep in touch with people. You know, as long as you're relatively close by, maybe in a park situation, on vacation. I mean, I think that's fantastic. It sure beats carrying around the old walkie-talkies that we used to have, or you know, two tin cans and a string. So I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, absolutely. So am I. And again, this is not, to the best of my knowledge, as of about an hour or two ago, been reported on any site anywhere. So you can find that on the iOS App Store. And check it out if you are interested in this sort of thing. I tried it out this morning, and it seems to work just fine. Although, because it's never been reported, there was nobody to chat with. Very lonely. Well, Kevin Toefel, I want to thank you for coming on Tech News Today as our guest co-anchor.
Glad to be here, and I'll see you in the ghost town of Google Plus.
All right, we'll see you there. Yeah, it seems like an awfully crowded ghost town, and we'll continue this conversation on Google Plus. Everybody who wants to join us, go circle Kevin Toefel and myself, and you'll see the conversation because this is going to be ongoing and continuing. Thanks again.
Thanks.
All right, there are lots of ways to subscribe to Tech News Today. You can subscribe at twit.tv/TNT. That'll get you the audio or the video version. Take your pick, or both. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/TechNewsToday. You can follow us on Twitter at TechNewsTodayTV. That's our Twitter handle. Or leave us send us an email at tnt@twit.tv. Leave us a voicemail by calling 260-TNT-SHOW. And don't miss our evening newscast, Tech News Tonight, at 4 p.m. Pacific tonight and every weeknight. My name is Mike Elgin. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you Monday.